Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Free. Jordana, it is a pleasure to be back here with you virtually once again. How are you? What's going on?
I'm pretty good. I mean, I have to say New York is a very boring place right now this winter. So I know you're in Florida. You're very lucky to have nice weather, to be able to be outside. It is very boring.
Yeah.
I'll say.
No. Listen. This yeah, is,
that's really.
This
was
the. This is the
that's
reason.
That's a luxury issue right now. I get that. Yeah. But
no. Listen. I'm. This is. You know why I ran away. I was like, my parents are like, we have this guest room. Come on down and you know breathe some fresh air. And genuinely, it was because you know in my mind I was like, I just want to take a walk. Like the minute I couldn't walk the bridge was the minute I was like locked in. You know, just in the confines of like. 20 by 20, like it's just like the, you know, the space issue. And so I know how lucky I am. I'm not going to go
it's
on
funny.
And on about the sunshine and the beaches and the bicycling and the working out outside and the, you know, the low socially distanced restaurants where you can eat, you know, at them. Yeah. I'm not going to go on and on.
Now that I've got the visual painted, it's funny that nothing hit home more than you see that meme with like the bird walking on the beach and it's like going on my like little daily walk, like stupid daily walk just to feel something.
Yeah, it was like, that eagle. It was a bald eagle and it looks so angry. And it's like, I remember there's a coffee place that's like a few blocks away from where my apartment is in New York. And like, just there was one day where that walk was like me, you know, that like rush walk you do when it's too cold, but you don't want to run. I was doing that. And I was like, this is going to be
happening.
Bad. I got to find some sunshine. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still doing the walks. I put on, it's just like, you put on your fucking like 15 layers, your hat, your scarf. It's just like for to go nowhere. like I used to do that to go into work and it like would say, okay, like I have to get from point A to point B. Now I'm just
sure.
It feels weird to me to do it for like fun. It's just like not that pleasant.
And you're doing it for your health, like mental health. Like it's weird to be doing it for that. Like so it's nice to get done with a workout and go, you know what? I feel mentally healthier now. It's not nice to be like, I got to do this workout so I'm mentally healthier. Like, it's not the same.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's not like let's go for a little walk. It's like, I have to go for this little stupid walk.
Yeah.
But that was a great meme. I love that. I really felt it.
I felt it, too. I felt it, too, because I remember the big thing about in New York when you couldn't really go in anywhere was also this feeling of like, you were in the montage of your own life. So like I would like turn out of bed, look out the window, and then I would look out in the morning and then I would go to bed by looking out the same window and turning into the same bed, but I really didn't move anywhere that whole day.
Right.
And it just felt like I was in this like, you know when someone does 360, I took a picture for every day of the year of my face. It kind of felt like that.
That's really funny. Yeah. I mean... it definitely feels that in some ways it feels like your life is like moving, like the world is moving and you're like in your same spot because you're not actually doing anything. And I think that's the weird part. I also think that must be like a certain part of being single in a city like New York right now. I can see how it'd be tough to feel like, you know, time is kind of just like passing and you can't really like
grow
further
with the
yourself
time.
In that you know what I mean, like you can't really be working towards, let's say, like dating or something like that in the same way that you could before. Like there's just not as many possibilities.
It's very frustrating. I've had this conversation with a few people. I don't think it's just you or I this is a feeling a lot of people are getting, and I think it's because of how long this whole thing is going, and also, you know, you hope with a new administration that there's a feeling of a plan. Like, there feels like there's no plan at this point right now. Before, you know, we're taping this on Inauguration Day, but, like, you know, getting into Inauguration Day, I think a lot of people are excited to see a new administration come because, well, how about some direction? When is, you know, Publix, when is, you know, Stop and Shop, when is Walmart going to have, you know, a vaccine so we can, you know, what's the 10-day, the 5, you know, the 20-day, the 100-day?
Plan?
Yeah, what's the rollout plan?
My dad, who's over 65, he's supposed to get a vaccine today, and they just, like, called him yesterday. They were like, shipment just never came. Sorry.
It's
kind of just like a...
I think that's frustrating.
Like, yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, I was going to say, it just seems like, hopefully, yeah, like exactly what you said, like, hopefully this is sort of like the beginning of some sort of streamlined, actionable plan to, like, get shit done.
At least an attempt. I mean, like, because all of us are young and mostly healthy, which, thank goodness, but we're all at the back of the line, and that's okay. But we're at the back of the line going, is it moving up there? Right. And everyone, you know, and they're all just like, no, we don't know what the fuck is going on. It feels like I'm in the back of the line at Disney, and we're going to take a turn and then find out there's 30 more, you know, lines in front of you. You're like, oh my God, it's a whole nother room before we get to the roller coaster. You know, it's that.
Exactly. It's like the Whole Foods line. Like, I'm fine with being in the back of the line if the line is moving.
Yes.
It's very... If the line is moving, I'm like, you know, you're like, should we get on this line or should we just go home? And they're like, you know, it seems like the line's moving. Let's just get on. But there does come a point where it's like, no one's moved in 10 minutes. Like,
America does feel like a line that you just look at and you go home. You're like, we'll do it another time. Yeah. I think, you know, this conversation, it relates to dating, it relates to career, it relates to relationships generally. Like, you know, like, I'm sitting here in my apartment in New York, like, will we extend it? Will we not? My girlfriend and I are looking at each other. She's like, well, maybe we'll just stay in the building. I'm like, I'm not staying in a building where I'm paying twice as much than I could be paying otherwise. And then it's like, where are we going to go? And I'm like, I don't know. The line's not moving. You know, like, and it's frustrating too. And I'm in Florida and I'm aware, and I try to stay aware of, like, what you're saying. Like, you're saying New York is boring. Like, I understand that. I empathize with that. I understand that I'm in a very lucky situation. I think there's parts of the country, you talk to people, I don't think they know how lucky they are, or they're looking at places and going, what are they doing up there? That's stupid. Like, it's frustrating to hear that, because you're like, no, there's a line that needs to start moving. You need to be outraged too, even for the people, even though your life hasn't changed at all. That's been a difficult thing, you know, for me to, like, kind of deal with when having these conversations. But
yeah, it always feels like I, like, want the line to move, and I, like, you know what I mean? The stakes are not so dire. It's like, we talk about this a lot. It's like, yeah, I want to get married at the end of the year. So, like, I want the line to move so I can get married and not have to deal with, like, shit or, like, people yelling at me on Instagram for getting married.
Some people want
the line to move so they can, like, not, so they can live. Like, that's a bigger deal. Like, I get that while still being annoyed for my own personal selfish reasons.
But that's the great problem we have. And that's I think a lot of our listeners are in the same boat, where it's like, I just want the line to move so I can go on a first date and see if I like this person, so I stop wasting my time for 6 months over FaceTime with someone that will never go on the first date. Like, that's totally relatable, and I'm with you 100%. Like, I'm that way with shows. I just want live shows to happen where people feel comfortable in the room and you can be full capacity and you can have a, you know, it's all, and the people not admitting to that are frustrating too. Like, the ones that are going, and people are dying. And it's like, we know. I think everyone's at their, you know,
that's
shaming
aspect. That's why those people get to be at
the
front of the line.
Yeah.
I kind of just envision, like, I'm like, the most efficient way to do this has got to just be, like, you literally just, like, a lot, like go around with a needle just stabbing anyone you see with, like, this fucking vaccine. Like, there's got to be... And then they throw them an index card, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Now you're good. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I actually said I was talking to a friend today. I was like, the only speech I want to hear Biden give is one where he goes on stage with a syringe in his hand and he goes, start the line here.
Yeah.
Come on.
First, pull who's up. First?
Who's yeah. first? Starting with the A's, over 75, last name Apple. You know, like, I yeah. want, like, so, yeah. So, yeah.
A graduation. Listen, be like, they should, at graduations, they should get a diploma and a shot just right away.
Just start pricking people left and right. Yeah. So, is there anything going on at Betches right now other than staring at a wall and being stuck inside?
Yeah. I mean, Sammy is hosting a new show called Morning Announcements.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. It's like very quick, it's a 5-minute thing in the morning. You listen Monday through Friday. You just get like the news that you need to know. It's 5 minutes podcast and then it's done and you know it, and no one keeps up with the news more than Sammy Fishbein, my co-founder, does. So she will have all the information for you. So check out the Morning Announcements. It's our new show by Betches.
Yeah, get subscribed. I always say to someone with like a new exciting podcast like this one, just get subscribed. Like, just, you know, and it's wait, but also it's waiting for you when you're ready to try it. Like, you know, maybe today is not the day. I'm not saying, you know, but maybe like you're going to be sitting on a Saturday being like, ugh, what the fuck's going on? Oh, okay, I got this podcast. It's just waiting for me. So, and yeah. in other podcast news, I'm co-hosting The Bachelor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We have I've talked heard about
it. It's going
it.
Great.
It's been going great. I think we got a good thing cooking. So, and I know that maybe I've gotten a lot of messages being like, oh, I used to listen, now I'm back. And it's like, that's very sweet to hear.
Awesome.
But like, if you're out there and you want to hear about the Bachelor, we're doing segments. We do a recap and then we're doing, you know, new segments at the end that have been a lot of fun. Would you rathers and who would you, you know, who would you date and who would you put on Paradise? And, you know, we're talking about it in a different way that I don't think a lot of Bachelor podcasts are doing. So get subscribed to that.
Yeah. If you used to listen, you stopped, get back there because Jared's got some fresh, hot takes for you. And I mean, Claire and Dale.
You want to talk about Claire? I could go into Claire and Dale.
Since that's the last thing I watched in the Bachelor world. So
Claire and Dale breaking up is a fantastic story that I think is very relatable to anyone dating in their 30s. That's what I'll say about that story. It is and anyone that's like getting into like, you know, marriage in their 30s and moving into the next phase of life. It's just interesting with Claire, like she wanted to tell us all how successful she was before she spiked the football before getting in the end zone. It kind of felt like, and now the audience is happy to see her fail. It's a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like, I say this a lot. Whenever I have a friend that tells me they met the perfect guy and they went on one date with them, I'm like, this is not going to work because you are delusional.
Yeah.
Like, because you don't know the person well enough to say that. And I think she built this whole thing in her head. It was just like, and the frustrating thing about Claire is that she, I feel like, is one of those people that does the same thing over and over again and blames someone else, even though her pattern is like so clear to anyone else who watches her.
You're very right. And it's different when it's your friend telling you that they met the perfect guy and it didn't, and it's different for her telling the whole world. Like, she handled this as, and I'm not saying like everyone needs to go on The Bachelor and be this humble servant of relationships, but you should be a little humble. You should understand. I don't think she understood the audience watching her. Like, for her to like tell an audience of mainly women, like, that's right, ladies, wait for the one that's right for you. And it's like, you don't know anything. You met this person for 2 weeks. So like, it like a lot of people were messaging me just being like, I told you, I knew this was happening. It's like everyone knew this would happen.
Right.
It's more interesting that the audience is cheering for it to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that usually is not the case. And I mean, I do feel bad because clearly she has some sort of like thing where she can't like realize this thing. Like, I can see her going on another Bachelor franchise and doing the same thing over again because there just doesn't seem to be much like insight going on in her own head.
It feels there's something going on. There's something else. And also, it's like the trappings of like modern relationships. Like, we deal with this a lot. We're like, you can understand that she fell in love with someone's Instagram profile. That happens. You can understand someone getting too excited and getting ahead of themselves. We can all understand this, but it is interesting to watch it happen kind of in like before our eyes, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, I think that that thing was like, it was more, it was not like if, it was very much when. So
yes.
I guess they picked the night before the inauguration. So, cause they knew they wouldn't really be like that competitive with the big news of the week.
Sure.
But I enjoyed that. If you want more of Jared's Bachelor takes, listen to The Bachelor.
Yes.
It's going to be great. He's got, you know, we've got The Bachelor going on. As I've said, there's no place more boring than New York right now. So if you want to fill your time, check out The Bachelor, check out Jared. And should we get into the show?
Let's get into the show. Before we get started, I'm doing live shows. Tampa. Also, Des Moines, Iowa. My go-to punchline for Nowheresville, USA. I'm coming. So, Des Moines, Iowa, and Tampa, Florida. I'll be doing shows, socially distant shows. They all have their own policies. Get in touch with the club if you want to look into what they're doing. I got a whole new hour going on that I've been working on, so I'm excited to work on some jokes in a live setting. So come on out. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Let's do the show.
Let's do it. All right. I will read the email, and the opening topic is how you deal with parents that excessively pressure you to date.
Very difficult. Were your parents ever that way?
Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of drawbacks of having like 8 siblings, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the benefits is that no one really gives a shit what you do.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? There's already like 9 grandchildren in my family. No one's sure. Like, no one, you know what I mean? Even with like career, like it was great to do Betches coming from my family, because it's like my mom already has like the doctor and the lawyer and all mm-hmm. that other standard shit. So it's kind of like, I mean, you would get the comments, but like, I do feel like it's kind of like I always felt like no one really was that invested.
You could fly under the radar, so to speak. If you came with a good ladder speech to the holidays, would that be okay? Like, if like this is like what you're saying makes sense to me. Like, if your mom was like, "So what's going on?" You were like, "Betches is growing, and I'm still dating around, haven't found anyone yet." she'd be like, okay, next up. Like, she would like go to the next kid.
Yeah, I think it would be, it was kind of like that. There would always be some sort of comment, I think, especially as like a woman and like the idea of like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, my mom would make comments about how like, you know, I was getting old to have a baby or something like that. Mm. Definitely. I've heard, and she probably started making those comments when I was like 23. Well, my mom had her first kid at 19. So,
sure.
I've been getting those kinds of comments for a while, but it was never like really about the partner. But I do think, do men get that quite as much? I feel like there's way less commentary about like when you're going to meet someone or settle down.
It's not, I've never really gotten that. And I think it like, I think that all trickles down to how men date and how, I think you get like the, are you seeing anyone? But it's never like, I'm only now. TikTok. Men get more of like the, it's a weirder thing. But it's just weird. You get like, so you get more of like the shitty shit of like, I guess the party's over. Once you do this, it's over from there. Like, I get a lot of that with like, moving in with Jess, you'd hear from people being like, you had a good run. Like,
so you get like the opposite almost.
Yeah.
Opposite pressure.
Yeah. Life now will suck forever. Like, you get a lot of that. But only once you start getting serious with certain, you know, in relationships. Like, I remember I have a good friend who once told me, she's this very successful woman. And she was like, people ask me more about the guy I'm seeing than my work. And I was like, that sucks. That's an annoying, I could see if you start at that, you see how all this dating stuff becomes more difficult for women.
I think especially with anyone who is a little bit older, if you're dealing with like parents or especially grandparents, because those people just like grew up in an age where like, if you were like 30 and single, that you were just like not marketable or like everyone. Mm. And I mean like everyone was probably, all those people were probably in very unhappy marriages, but still it was just like, they're just not really like, I think what their experience with dating so long ago is so far away from what the world, the options available to women are now, that I do think that there's a sense of like, I kind of get that it's a little different, but like, I still sort of believe in this like theory that like, you know, a younger woman is a more of a catch than an older woman.
Yeah, it's a very messed up like psychology that's going on. It's like, it's all social shit. It's like, and it's like, listen, we can rage on about it, or we can see it and try to like be aware and like maneuver ourselves to make it better. I think also like it's there's a little bit like of their time. It was a little bit of like, you know, the being, what's it called? Blissfully naive.
Right.
You know, like the idea, like, and that goes for male, female, whatever, like you married the person that lived down the street. It wasn't like, well, maybe there's someone better that, you know, better for me. Like this idea of like finding the right match is kind of a new idea.
Totally. Totally. I mean, like, yeah, the idea also that you would, I mean, in some ways, maybe what they went through is in some ways better, because I don't think the older generations really expected to find totally everything that they needed in a partner from one person. Yeah. Like, I do think there was more like, well, I have a friend who I like to talk about this about, and I have another friend who like, you know, makes me feel special in this way. And then my partner is this way. But I do think like the concept that the person needs to check every box of fulfillment is like a very much like a sort of entitled,
yeah,
newer generation thing, because it's not really that realistic that someone is going to like fill every one of your needs, that one person's going to do that.
Totally. And it's like, it's like just rearranging your expectations. And like, it's like, you know, when someone talks about like money, it's interesting when you talk about money, it's like, is that person rich? And then there's always that one person that'll be like, well, how much do they spend? You know, like when you look at it from that angle, it's like, oh, I guess if I didn't spend as much, I'd have, you know what I mean? Like, you know, right. Like it's not about how much you make. It's about how much you spend. Like someone said that to me once. And it's like, well, when you look at it from that angle, like, okay, you know, like, and so it's like, I don't think parents look at it from that angle when it comes to relationships. Like, so I think like when a parent is pressuring you and you're like, again, it's that like going back to like, it's not about how much you make, it's how much you spend. It's like if you looked at them and go, would you rather me be in a horrible relationship or with the right with seven kids, but or in the right relationship with one kid?
Right.
You know, like, yeah, what would they like, choose for you?
Right. And I think that like, again, like the other thing is like, people not under, I think older people not understanding that you can have a really happy, fulfilling life without someone is something, because like, there's so, I mean, you could travel, not right now, you could travel hypothetically.
Yeah.
You could, you know what I mean? There's so much more that you can do. Whereas like, I don't think the world was quite as, like you said, there's less options. Also just the world is less big.
Yeah.
When they were dating. So I think it's just a difference in perspective. So I agree. I don't think the answer is like to get like mad about the generational differences, but just understand that like that's their opinion, because they're just had an entirely different experience than you.
And it's also, they just want you to be okay. I remember when I started doing comedy, my dad was like very supportive. My dad was like, if I told this on here before, but like basically when I started doing comedy, I was like, I want to be a stand-up comedian. My dad was like, okay, so you want to be one of the guys at the table at 30 Rock who's like writing. Like, he was like, you want to be one of those guys. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go knock at the door at NBC and they're going to have me as one of the writers like sitting around that table. I was
right.
Like, but in his mind, that was his way of like saying like, you're starting a business. It was his reaction to it. He's like, he could understand it in those terms. Okay, you're starting an entrepreneurial endeavor. And I said to him, I go, if it's writing greeting cards, at least I'll be happy, because that's how it ended up. At least the road that got right. me there will make me happier for getting there.
Because you and feel like your skills are a match or whatever.
This is what, wherever this takes me from day one, as I'm telling him that I want to do this, it takes me there, but at least I'll be working hard and this is like an entrepreneurial endeavor. My dad got it. My mom didn't. It was tough for her. And mm-hmm. it was like 2 years until, because I think with moms especially, moms want to go to other moms and go, my kid's a doctor, done. I did a good job. That is doctor. I am okay. Right. So like, if we think of this from like the narcissistic point of view, which all of us are a bit of a narcissist. All of us are the star of our own movie. Your mom, your dad that keeps asking about your relationship is just trying to find a simple story to let everyone else know
right.
that they did a good job as a parent. So if you start there, you can start to understand why they're harping on you. It's not about you. It's also about them. So
yeah.
I just remember my mom, she was just like she'd be like, he's a right, like hearing my mom explain what my job was like hearing nails on a chalkboard. He's a writer, it's funny sometimes, I don't know.
Right.
And then the minute like it became real to her, the minute I was like on stage, like it took like a couple years, and then she was like, oh, I get it. Like so it takes time with everything for a
totally.
Parent to understand.
Well, that's exactly yeah. like what I was telling you. Like, my mom already had the doctor
yes.
and the lawyer that she could already tell about all those other people. So it was kind of like, you know, I'm her sixth child.
Sure.
So it's kind of all the things I do is like extra.
Yeah, she did well with five. If the six doesn't work out, she yeah, doesn't look like a
whatever.
Failure.
Yeah.
Well, let's do the email that relates to this, because I think a lot of this stuff is in there.
All right, I'll read it. Hey, J&J, love the podcast. I discovered it a year ago and have binged episodes all the way back to when you started. My question is around my parents pressuring me to seriously date/get married. For context, I'm female, 25, and had a handful of short-term relationships and one longer-term relationship early in college, but nothing serious for the past few years. My parents have recently been pressuring me to find a serious boyfriend because they want me to get married in my mid to late 20s. The pressure comes in the form of constant conversations, even my mom trying to set me up with people she's met at work or out casually. The pressure isn't coming due to any cultural reasons, but more so because my parents got married young, around 25, and have a wonderful, successful marriage. On top of that, they both have numerous siblings who never got married and now live a single life into old age, which my parents perceive as lonely. I know they're pressuring me because they fear I'll be single forever if I don't get married young. I also understand that this fear stems from their personal experience, so I don't blame them for feeling that way, but I do wish they'd understand my point of view. I do want to get married one day and find my happily ever after, but I have a hard time faking interest or continuing on a relationship once I have even an inkling of doubt. I won't settle if I don't feel the magic. To make things more complicated, I currently live with my parents, so I have anxiety about bringing COVID into the house, so I've avoided dating the past six-ish months. If these were non-COVID times, I'd definitely be putting myself out there more on dating apps, etc. My parents' retort to the above is that I should online date / get to know someone over text, etc. I did try that early in COVID, but I just have the hardest time getting into it without the physical aspect. When I tried to explain that to them, they didn't understand why I couldn't just lay the foundations over text / FaceTime. I've had numerous conversations with them about how I feel and how their pressure makes me feel terrible / less than, etc. Unfortunately, they never seem to have sympathy or try to understand my point of view. So my question to you is, what would you do if you were me? Any suggestions on what to do? I'm struggling with this and would appreciate any help you can give. Many thanks. Sincerely, my parents are pushy AF.
Well, this is a good email. I think it's very relatable. I think there's a lot of people out there. I'll say this, sometimes the answers are in the email, and I'll say this based on reading this email and hearing it again from you reading it, Jordana, she's in the no zone. It's a lot of no's from her. I won't do this. So it's like, I understand what she's saying, but if I were her parents, I'd be like, you're a little negative about this. Like, I would be on there. I'd be standing next to them being like, you know, she does get negative. Like, I would be like, listen, I'm not saying her problem isn't a real problem. I'm just saying it ain't going to get solved the way she wrote this email.
Right. I don't know if her problem for her, though, is that she like can't meet someone. I feel like her problem is that she lives with these people who make her feel worse about it, about something that's like she kind of cares about, but not really.
Yeah.
And but she can't. I see what you're saying. I agree. She is definitely being negative.
Yeah. It's not about her. I'm saying like the tone of this email, you can tell that the conversations with the parents aren't great.
Yeah.
Like, well, like I, you know, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah. I mean, my advice to her in some senses, and I know this is obviously easier said than done, is to move out. Like,
okay.
I mean, I get that that's like, doesn't necessarily solve the issue, but if you're 25 and you don't feel like hearing the same conversation over and over from someone who like keeps kind of annoying you with the same conversation, like you don't have to live there. Like,
yeah, I think that's, again, I'm with you, but I think that also like doesn't preserve the family. I think, you know, like I think she has to first start at her family just cares about her. Like none of this is because her family wants to make her feel bad. I think if you start at that, just like let's start at base level. Your parents aren't trying to make you feel bad. They're just fearful. And fear, as we've seen with many things, brings out kind of the worst in people.
I agree with that, but I'm just saying, like, I do think, like, if you're going to continue to live with people, and even if you can understand they just want the best for her, I do think it's important to, like, establish your boundaries. If someone's, like, giving you anxiety by constantly, like, bringing up things that they think you need to do, a good solution to that would be, like, to surround yourself with people who don't give you that anxiety, if that's not something that you really want to work on. Like, it sounds like she's tried to put up the boundary of like, I'm happy and I'm fine with this and I don't really want to talk about it. And the person and her parents aren't really listening to that. To me, it would be like, okay, then like go somewhere where like, that's not a constant source of conversation. Put up a little distance.
Well, so let's say she moves out and then they talk on the phone once a week and half the conversation is about her not finding a guy or not dating.
I've had periods of having those kinds of conversation. I would say, listen, I know you're worried about me. I'm actually really happy. I'm like, I'm dating. Yeah. It's something I want to get married eventually. It's definitely a priority for me in my life, but currently I'm happy. So like when you talk to me about when we're constantly talking about this and you're constantly bringing it up, it's giving me more anxiety about something that I wouldn't necessarily be that anxious about. So if you could stop talking to me about that, let's talk about something else. If you could stop talking to me about that, I would appreciate it. But just know that this is something that I'm doing and I'm actively doing it. But if you can't stop talking to me about it, then like we might not be able to talk at all.
Well, also, I think that's a great place to start. And it's I think it's also to add on to what you just said, because I think that's a perfect response. I think it's also to say, you're making me feel like you think I'm a loser. Like, because it's right now, again, what you're saying in the world where she's like, I'm having a good time dating around and finding guys in the way I'm finding them. And when they talk to her about it, it does feel like she feels that they're just like judging her lot in life, which is to say she's a loser.
Right. And to say she's automatically unhappy because she's single. And I think that would be, I think that was what, with my dad, I remember him saying that kind of thing too. He's like, I just want you to be happy. And I'm like, what is giving you the indication that I'm not happy? I remember being single and saying that to him, like, what is giving you the indication that I'm not happy? Like, I don't need someone to be happy right now. I want eventually, but I don't understand where that's coming from.
That response, the way you're talking with your dad, like hypothetically, or the way you talked with your dad before, is so different than stop setting me up. Stop telling me to do what to do. Stop. No. I think the best way is to ask questions. Do you think I don't look happy? What are you most concerned about? And when you say this, I feel like you're saying my whole life right now is a waste of time. And I don't believe that to be the case. Like, I think you have to make this conversation needs to be about something not dating related. And it has to be about the way the dating conversation is making you feel. And also asking them questions about what are they fearful about? Because this is about their fears for you and for themselves.
Right. I guess they probably fear that she's never going to meet someone, that she's getting older and her marketability is going to decrease. I think that's that's a fear of that parents have for their children, that especially with daughters, they need to marry them off before, you know, like, I don't know. I think maybe for some people financially, if they're supporting someone, they kind of want to I think part of that is like sort of seeing an exit for them in terms of a job and a partner.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times that's interwoven.
Absolutely. Like I can understand all those fears, but I think they would be less fearful if they talk with her and hear how calm she is and hear how she's in no rush and how like a guy's going to come at some point, but it's going to be the right match. And I'm looking for things in a different way than maybe you would look for them for me. Like having and also asking the questions that we were asking before. Would having a guy that I'm miserable with be better than having no guy that I'm happy when I'm happy alone?
Right.
I would ask that question and see how they answer. Oh, we just want you to be happy. If that's the case, you're making me unhappy every time you bring this up and make me feel like I'm running out of time against a clock that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And I mean, to the move out thing, I think that's like almost like if all else fails, surround yourself with people who don't make you feel that way. If they really can't bring it in themselves to like stop laying on that pressure that it's actually causing you anxiety, like don't be around it.
If you can't move out, I would also say I know in my life, like my parents are people I have to deal with forever. Like, there's no move out. Like, you know, like I...
You're going to be in this room in your parents' house.
I'll be in this pool house until we all die. And it's like, yeah, I'm just saying...
anywhere.
Nowhere.
And I'm staying on the cell phone plan, too.
For the rest of time. I have no, you know, and I have no, like, metaphorical move out at my disposal. My parents will be nudging me until forever because I kind of enjoy it. I kind of enjoy being, you know, out for dinner with my parents and I take the good with the bad. I take them sitting me down about my eating the day after they told me to eat. Like, I take that in stride a little bit. But I would say to her, say a few more yeses. Make them feel like they're a part of it. Like, when she talks about, like, my mom will try and set me up with random people. Well, let's start. You have to start at letting her do that and then letting her hear your feedback on the guys. He's not really my type. I don't think I'd blow him. She'd be like, what? You know, like I you know,
well,
like
another annoying thing that Jewish mothers and my mother in particular, I feel like used to do, or like, is they would try to set you up with someone that you were just like, they were like, do you know me at all? Like, this person has a pulse, so you think that they're a good match for me? Like,
yeah.
What about this person makes it like that? I think is very frustrating when like someone's like, and also that nothing makes you feel more like a loser than like someone trying to set you up with someone that you know you would never date. And they're like, well, you know, at this point, you just need anyone. So like, just go out with this. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying it. Like, they're like, oh, you want a career? Like, there's a job opening, like, at a fast food restaurant. Like, it's kind of like, do you not have that? I think is much more when you're talking about feeling like a loser. I remember like my mom used to kind of do that. And I would just be like, nothing makes me feel worse than you thinking I would be a good match with this person.
Well, in their defense, they don't know what you're into. Like, your parents aren't over your shoulder being like, oh, that's the pawn you're watching. Like, they're not they know only that they love you. Like, I understand, like, everything you're saying, and I agree with you. Like, that moment of feeling like a loser, like, that's the person. That's when I do have the conversation with my mom. Like, that's when I say to her, I was like, what made you think? Like, I laugh at that. Like, and then when they, like, my mom does this thing, I remember the other night, and I think this is relatable to what we're talking about, because the other night I went in the house and I didn't eat all day, so they came home from dinner and they brought home leftovers, and it was like 9:30, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna eat, and I go in the house, and then she double locks the door, and so, like, I guess I woke her up, and it was like, she's like, why did, oh my God, what did you, and I was like, who did you think it was? I live in the pool, like, I'm in the pool house. Like, I've been here for a month at this point. And she's like, oh my God, just text me next time, text me. And then I start pulling the chicken out of the fridge, and she's like, oh my God, where, you're gonna have the chicken? You're gonna have the chicken? Oh my God, you're gonna have the chicken? And I'm going, and I stopped her. I go, and it was like, I let it happen for like 10 minutes. And I go, you've done this for 10 minutes now. Are you done? I go, from the minute I walked in to the minute I sat down, you have not stopped yelling at me, because I'll leave right now. I will go back to the house. I'll put away the chicken. I'll go back to the house. And she was like, she started laughing at how nudgy she was being. And it's, and I think parents have to have this, like, you have to let them wake up a little bit. And I think this happens with when they try to fix you up and you go, okay, just take a minute and go. And it happens with hecklers, and I remember when I would be on stage and I would want to, like, get the heckler back right away. No. Let your parents have their peace and then go, okay, what about this guy do you think is a good match for me? And, well, you should go out with someone. Hold on. I'm not really very attracted. You know, and get into attraction. Get into the things that make up a relationship. And I do think the minute you start, like, getting in the weeds about how you look at a man and what you're looking for, and you make them a part of that process, they're either going to go, this is too much for me, or they're going to go, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I wouldn't date them. Like, would you date them, Mom? You know, like questions like that.
My mom probably would date them. She dates everyone.
Well, but I'm saying, like, I think more interested questions, because I think the minute you come at a parent with a no, they just think you don't want to hear, take the good medicine. And it's like, the minute you start taking the medicine from them, they go, oh, this was the wrong medicine. I do think they figure it out.
Right. I think it depends on the parent, but I do think
it does depend.
If after a while you're feeling unhappy with this level of pressure, I think it might be good to have a little distance. Just like, no, that, I would recommend with anyone.
I think that's a good option. I just think, like, it is. You're gonna have to deal with these people forever, and it's like at a certain point you gotta, like, I'm just like, what do you want? What, like, I know every time I slow it down and I ask questions, my conversations with my parents are 1,000 times better.
Right. All right. Well, give that a shot.
Give it a shot.
Let us know how it goes. Yeah.
I want to hear back. I want to hear what these parents say. Let them listen to this episode. Put them on right now. Put them on right now. Let me get in their ear. Hey, mom, cut the shit. Your daughter wants to blow a few guys over the next few years, and she'll find a guy when she's ready. Okay, now get her off. We'll start the show.
There you go. Problem solved.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Let's do some awkward sex. Send yours in, UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. Here we go. J&J, new listener here, was introduced by a girl I'm dating, and you guys have absolutely lived up to the hype. Thank you. I have an awkward sex story that you guys might appreciate. This story happened 10 years ago and is the most awkward losing your virginity story that I've ever heard about. I haven't told many people this story, but the world needs to know. I like that this is a dude that wrote in, and I like that he's introduced by a girl he's dating, and he's like, this story happened 10 years ago. Like, that is one of those enunciations that guys do before they tell a sex story.
Just so you know, this isn't me now.
Years, eons, forever ago, some girl. I don't even remember her name. Yeah. So as a 17-year-old high school boy, you basically only think about sex and video games, and I didn't have an Xbox or PlayStation. In between sifting through the library of...
womp womp.
Oh, a poor virgin. Oh. In between sifting through the library of Congress amount of porn on the internet, I somehow convinced a girl to start dating me. Someone must have been slipping me IV Viagra, because at the beginning of that relationship, I had a perpetual boner just in case, quote unquote, I was about to have sex. This is a huge high school problem, is the boner that you can't handle. It's like, you know, when you see like someone with a hose that's like too, like in the cartoons when they pick up the hose and they start waving around with the hose.
That's what a high school boner is like?
That's a high school boner, just uncontrolled. Finally, the day had come where sex was going to happen. I was a virgin. She was not. In my parents' basement on that couch that's been there for years and no one knows where it came from. Everyone's parents have this furniture. We started making out and began some heavy petting. Naturally, I had arrived in Boner City. Population, me.
I feel like that is such like guy lot. Like,
absolutely.
Not much has changed since high school.
No. like I heard that and I was like, I get it. I get it.
Boner
okay.
City.
Population, oh. Me.
I'm surprised that he was a virgin.
Yeah. I'm surprised he still isn't. You know, he isn't still. I've never seen a vagina at this point. So firstly, as the heavy petting progresses, I have to start my quest for the vagina. This should tell. I mean, like, people think I'm lying when I'm talking about, like, how little men know about a female's body. Like, you know before sex what a penis looks like, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, like, shocking, I feel like, the first time you see one. It's like...
Yeah, like, you know. Wow. This is, it's like the 3D version of what's on the page. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, it's just like so foreign to like any part that you have.
I guess the difference is like, it's almost
one is
like,
internal and one yeah, is external.
But I guess like when you see a penis in a textbook, you're like, okay, I get it. Like it's almost cartoonish. Yeah. It's kind of fun. It looks like, you know, like a tail. It's like, you know, whatever it is. But when the vagina would come up in the textbook, I'd be like, ugh, come on, move to a new chapter. This is like long division. Like it just looks too complicated. Yeah. It looks like, you know, but it just looks like there's like, you know, to the 10th factor, I'll cheat on this test. You know, like.
Yeah. I think I felt similarly about the penis.
Yeah. Okay. Too. So I hadn't realized the vagina is so centered in the body. Okay, that doesn't sound right at
what does
all.
What even mean? Like center a belly. In the I body. Think a center in the body is a belly button.
Yeah, I don't think a. Has this guy still not seen a vagina?
Okay. I know, right? It'd be so funny if it was a belly button this whole time.
He's been fucking belly buttons. This guy just got off in my belly button. It was weird. I hadn't realized the vagina is so centered in the body. So walking my hand farther and farther back until I guess centered under the leg.
Oh, okay.
This makes sense. I actually had a similar issue. When you're putting your hand down a woman's pants, like the penis is like front and center.
Right. It's very obvious where the penis is, obviously. Yeah.
You can't miss it.
There's a few different holes I can see if you didn't know anything being a little confused. There's like three holes.
Yeah. I do understand that the first time I like fingered a girl, I remember thinking like, do I keep going down? Am I too far? Did I miss it? Yeah. Okay. I hadn't realized the vagina is so centered in the body. So walking my hand farther and farther back until I felt a hole was not a good idea. Because yes, you guessed it. I started accidentally fingering her butthole.
It's aggressive for the first time.
So he did miss the vagina.
Yeah. I mean, he has a butthole. I'm surprised he didn't.
It's weird. It's like that. It's like putting a tie on someone else. Like it's all, you know.
Yeah.
Everything's out of place. Like on a quick, what did he say? What is this word?
Quixotic? I don't know what that means. I'd have to Google it.
I'm going to Google it right now. On a quixotic, like on a quixotic mission.
What does it mean?
Exceedingly idealistic, unrealistic, and impractical.
Now we know why this guy was a virgin.
Yeah.
Again.
He was reading the dictionary. Yeah. If you're going to write a smart word to make us look stupid, I mean, at least define it afterwards. Like on a quixotic mission, I had finally differentiated the pink from the stink.
I like how this guy uses quixotic in the same email that he uses the phrase boner city.
Boner city. Well, also in the same sentence as pink from the stink.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's filled with like contradictory like feelings about who he is. I don't even know.
I took out my moderately sized high school penis, and having only seen porn at this point without knowing the actual mechanics of having sex, I just started aimlessly thrusting, hoping that at some point I stab her vagina and begin the sex-making process. I finally start feeling like I'm in something, and I feel proud as fuck. This email should send this guy back to high school health class. Like, I think this email is a failure of the school system.
Of the public school system, I would assume.
Background, the couch we were on was extremely old. The cushions were very soft and mushy and just kind of blended into everything from years of being sat on. As I'm thrusting, sweating begins to drip down my brow. She looks at me and goes, "Is it in yet?" I mean, damn, I wasn't out here thinking I was Johnny Sins. Let's not pretend we don't all know who he is.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. Maybe he's a huge Maybe he's a huge penis porn person.
I guess he really doesn't. I thought maybe it was a porn star.
Yeah, he's a porn star. He must have a big penis. Okay. But I figured someone knew when my body part was inside of them. I then looked down and realized, yes, I had lost my virginity to a couch. My girlfriend then guides me inside of her for all of 7 seconds to be able to have had sex with a human being for once, and then it's over. She finishes with a bear hug and whispers in my ear, "Congrats on losing your virginity." What a nice thing. That's a nice thing.
I know.
To it's say, like a graduate. Sweet.
She's graduating.
You congratulate. Did it.
You did it.
Needless to say, me and the couch still have some tension with one another to this day. Hope you found this funny. Sincerely, the Love Cedar. So what do you think, Jordana, this adventure we just went on?
I feel like the first time is always a little awkward and weird. This sounds like a more extreme version of that.
Yeah. I mean, the first time sucks. It sucks for everybody. Nobody, I feel like
more so for men, I would imagine. Just because, like, I feel like it's easier to get away with doing less for the as a woman, you're kind of
You're in charge. I mean, sex is can be difficult. You're the one like that's moving the whole operation. Yeah. You're in charge of the time. You're in charge of the it's just
the
pace. Like, you know, women can kind of starfish, and it's like, you did it, good job. But like, also, women are also in the unbearable position of having to watch this monstrosity of a situation. Like,
right. And try to like not be turned off by like what's
everything.
Going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, can you imagine you're underneath a guy who's, this is a mess. Like, you're
having
underneath
sex with the couch next to you.
And you're expected to believe that you're on the same mental wavelength.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, I guess the beauty of losing your virginity earlier in life is that like you haven't had as much experience yourself to know that like just how bad it is.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? To me, it makes me understand. I think the hesitancy of a lot of older people to have sex with people who have never had sex before, because once you've had more experience, I feel like you have more expectations in that way. You know,
Totally. And it also, it just feels like you're just sitting like part of the sex is the sex. Do you know what I mean? Like, part of the first time of sex, like, is having the sex. Like, that's like, it's not only like one
best
of
part
the,
of the sex is the sex.
Well, the mountains you have to get over. It's like, not only do you have to last a long time and be a performer and move your hips right, but now it's like, now I have to do this thing that I'm just expected to know how to do.
Right. Which I guess especially is probably tougher if you're with someone who's not a virgin. Because if you're both virgins, then like it's kind of like, okay, we'll like see what happens. And there's a sense of like, we'll figure it out. But like when one
person
isn't.
We're doing this together.
Right. Yeah. When one person isn't, it's like there's a lot more to judge.
Yeah, I mean, let's take away the virginity. Red flag or deal breaker, you're having sex with a guy who's fucking a couch by accident and not you.
I mean, that would be a deal breaker. Again, assuming we're not 17 and this is, I'm like, I'm my 31-year-old self, I think that would be a deal breaker. At this point in my life, I think I would be looking for more experience in a partner.
I would too, yeah.
Yeah, but if it was like my high school boyfriend and like, I think it would probably be funny.
Yeah, I would hope that everyone could have a good laugh. Yeah, and then now he's like the couch kid. Everyone knows him. He gets a nickname. What would you call this?
Deep couch? I don't even know. What do you think?
The lazy boy.
Oh, I like that.
That's what I was thinking.
That's great.
I didn't want to give it away, but that's what they could all call him too. Like, oh, look at Lazy Boy. You know, like that would be fun.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You've already figured out a name to taunt him. It's like you are in high school.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast15.
Let's do an email. You ready?
Let's do it. All right. Hey, J&J, thanks for all you do. Getting to my point, my question is whether or not it's sketchy for your boyfriend to hide his story from certain female followers on Instagram and then lie to you about it. I don't even know if we need to read the rest of the email.
Yeah. What details could she provide? She sounds happy about it.
That would make him sound worse than that. All right. My boyfriend and I have been dating for almost 2 years. We've discussed the topic of sharing pictures of each other / together on Insta so many times, and his answer is always that he doesn't want to share his relationship on Instagram, period. He doesn't have any photos of his past relationships, but his Instagram is full of other parts and people in his personal life, like his friends and family. In the first year of dating, we talked about this a lot, and I was a bit offended, but I eventually dropped it and thought I got over it. I decided if I wanted to post photos about us and him, I should just go ahead and do it, even if he won't. I still don't post very often and definitely feel weird about doing it most of the time. I second guess myself, thinking things like, is this weird because he'll never post anything about me? Should I just not post anything about him either? Anyway, this past summer, he decided he wanted to post a story with me in it. It was low-key candid photo of me and didn't say anything about me being his girlfriend. I know I shouldn't care, but it did make me feel happy. A few days later, I asked him about how to hide your story from someone, since I wanted to hide mine from some friends' parents that had recently followed me. He kind of got weird and said he didn't know how to do that. We're open with each other and know each other's passwords, so I looked it on his phone, even though I probably shouldn't have, while he wasn't in the room. another day, another phone snoop. I saw that he actually hides his story from quite a few people, 20 plus, who are all girls. Not like 20 plus year olds, but 20 plus people. Yeah.
Yeah. But also this guy,
something else. They're all girls. Shocking.
I'm starting to laugh, but like, it's just like, sometimes as a guy, you see guys doing things and you're like, man, this guy's got it's like he's balancing teacups on top of each other. Like, first it's, I don't put anyone on my Instagram. Then it's a story. Then I don't know how to do that. Then it's 20 plus girls that are.
Right. And those 20 plus girls, she says, I saw exes, girls he's told me he's been with in the past, and many that were totally unknown to me. Overall, it was pretty clear, though, that these weren't relatives or friends or friends' parents or anything like that. I never said anything because I felt bad for looking at his phone and realized I shouldn't go looking for things I don't want to know. I know you'll both say that there are bigger trust issues going on here if I need to pry on his phone, but I found his reaction sketchy. Sketchier that he lied to my face. What do you think of this? I felt hurt and stupid that I got excited over him sharing a story about me when clearly he's trying to keep me a secret from people or seem single, as well as being upset that he lied to my face. Thanks for all your wisdom, the offline only girlfriend.
This email is interesting because it's funny. She says a couple things that, like, let me start by saying in her email, she said, I know it's stupid that she got excited. I don't think it's stupid at all.
No, that's something she's wanted. Yeah, she's, again, like, I think we're taught in some ways to think that social media is stupid and, like, not a big deal, but, like, that's where we all live. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's part of the current of the relationship going down the river. And you noticed that the current was being held up by a dam that was social media being kind of happening without you in his life when all the other things in his life are happening. So it's not stupid at all. I think she needs to let go of that. We all need to let go of that because it hurts everything else.
I mean, I think especially he's like sort of dangled the carrot in front of her for so long and never done it to where I can see where she would, of course, be excited about it. But I was excited the first time Mike posted me on social media, too. I was like, OK, like this is like someone public because it feels like a public declaration of like I'm with this person. And I think that feels good.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. It feels good to like have people like comment, like, look how great you guys look together. Like people, oh, is this the girl? Like guys feel that way too. Like it does. When I post with Jess, it feels really good. When I put her on my story and people tell me, you know, how happy we look, like that feels really good to me too. Like this isn't just a female thing. This is anyone who's happy in their relationship. Or letting the relationship, and to go back to like the river metaphor that I was doing, is like, it feels good to have the like, you know, to grow together, to go with each other, to kind of flow together. That feels good. It's interesting to me, two things. The way she starts this email is not the email. Like, she goes, like, if she asked just the beginning, is it sketchy for your boyfriend to hide a story from certain female followers on Instagram and then lie to you about it? I would go, that's not that big a deal. That on its own, not as big a deal. There's people.
You think not a big deal?
We all have our own reasons for blocking people from our stories that actually make us all sound a little bit small, a little bit petty. And it could be someone, hey, I really like this person, and seeing them watch my stories felt bad. We've given the advice on this podcast to be like, hey, if seeing the person on your stories feels bad or watching your stories feel bad, block them from your stories. I've given that advice. You have too. So I can see how someone would go, I don't know, like kind of try to ignore that because it's especially in a relationship where they're happy and with someone and go, I'm not ready to like show that side of me. I can understand.
Early
that.
In the game, you're saying.
Early, even. Like, I don't even feel the need to explain it. Like, and it's been years. I haven't thought about it in years, but now I have to go back and re-bring it up and explain to you that I don't care about this person, but I also have them blocked from my story, and it's actually just been helpful when it was back then, so I've just kept it over all these years. It's just made life easier. Like, okay. I could totally see that.
Like, people. I don't know about 30 people.
When the story then gets told, and it's, I avoid having you on Instagram, and then it's 20 plus women of people he's been with and been, you know what I mean? Like, then the story is a more fraught thing, right?
Well, then it's like, I'm trying to hide you. That's what it feels like. Right.
Well, I can totally understand.
I think that's what it is. You don't think at this point, this is what it is? If he's like, I don't like to post that about myself, and then she sees it and he's either doing something sketchy that he's trying to get away with.
Sure.
Or he's trying to hide you.
Yeah, it's one or the other. Or I think it's like more overall to me, it's someone who wants to keep this relationship this serious as it stands right now.
He does. 2 years in.
2 years in. Well, just because you're 2 years in doesn't mean you're 2 years along. You know, like you could be.
Right.
We've talked about this a lot on this podcast where it's like, time works kind of differently to a guy. A guy will go, 2 years? Oh, shit. And he's still acting like someone who's dating you for 6 months.
Right.
Like, to me, this sounds like a relationship that's 2 years in, but he's still acting like it's 6 months in.
Yeah. And I think I also think if someone is posting, like, all about all other aspects of their personal life, but they're not posting you, that in itself, on its own, I think is a really big red flag. It's like, why, if you're proud to share all the rest of this stuff, why wouldn't you be excited to share me? Why are you trying to like live in limbo with our relationship?
Totally. I'm with you 100%. And I think that's the bigger problem. It's the blocked people from the stories on its own. Fine. That's one thing I can see how it's explained. It's the that in addition to hiding your life when from the feed posts, especially. She only got a story right. post. Wasn't that what it was?
She got a story post. Yeah. And then yes. she realized he had, she was so happy that he had done it and then realized that he had stopped these people from seeing it.
Yeah. And so, but I think the other part of her email that I'm like, is part of her problem is she goes, I know you'll both say the bigger trust issues going, but I found this this reaction sketchy, sketchier that he lied to my face. What do you think of this? I felt hurt and stupid that I got so excited over. She's trying to make him evil. And it's like, I don't know. I mean,
this guy is like being kind of manipulative. So if the facts that she's giving are all correct facts, this guy is like, does seem like I can see on her perspective. It's like, he's trying to pull one over on you. Like he's trying he's trying to set himself up to be like on the market or hide certain or be shady. He's being shady.
I agree with you. I'm not trying to say that I don't doubt any part of her story. But I'm saying there's a point where she has to go, like, you're 2 years in and you're saying, I feel stupid for, I feel hurt and stupid that I got excited over him sharing a story about me. It's like, okay, it's okay. I've felt stupid so many times in my life. What do I do next? What do you do next?
Right.
Are you going to go, do you want us to tell you he's a manipulative guy? Yeah. Okay. We just told you that. He's being manipulative. He's being shady. It's time to end this. I don't think this is going to be... I don't think you come back from this, to be honest. I think there's been too much time, and this guy isn't looking to go further with you, and you want this to go further. I think she has to admit to that.
Right, that it's not... This is almost like a symptom of what's actually going on, which is that she wants to be in a more committed, more serious relationship, and this guy is sort of leaving her in the, like, in the middle of, like, a limbo, like, will they, won't they public situation. And I think it's totally okay, even if you hadn't seen that he had blocked those girls, to say, listen, like, you post about all this other stuff on social media. It doesn't make me... It makes me feel like you're not proud or excited to be with me when you have... when you share all these other aspects of your life, but you don't share me. I would think, I think of you as an important part of my life that I would share just like anything else. So it's a bit of a red flag to me that you're not sharing that.
Yeah. It starts at being okay that this is a problem.
Yeah. And I think that this is not the main, like we said, like this is a symptom of the bigger issue, but I think you can leverage this to open the conversation about what the bigger issue is, which is that you want to be more serious.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not even on your Instagram profile. To me, it feels like I'm being hid. I'm putting you on my social media. I would expect that you would be as excited as I am to put me on yours.
Yeah.
How do you feel? And then just quiet. And just see what he says. And I think this will end the relationship.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's told you that he doesn't want to share his relationship on Instagram, period, with no explanation, to me is not someone who's communicating well with you or having like open, honest conversations.
Yeah. And do you want to be with someone who doesn't want to share you? Like with his friends and family. And that's the question I would ask myself. It doesn't sound like you do. So... You want to play some games?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Red flag, deal breaker. Let's start it up. You ready?
I'm ready.
Red flag or deal breaker? You make a quick bathroom break before having sex, only to come out and find your boyfriend recording a video message to his sister. Some background. My early stage boyfriend and I were on a weekend getaway. We had a little tiff that morning and had returned to the hotel for a little kiss and makeup. Before things went farther, I took a quick break to use the bathroom. When I came out, I saw the guy recording a video message on his phone. I immediately asked what he was doing. He explained that his sister had sent him a text asking him to check his Marco Polo, this video message app he and his family used to communicate, because it was important. He then checks Marco Polo, thinking it might be an emergency. After realizing it was not an emergency, she just wanted some home remodeling advice or something. He still chose to record a message back to her, again, in between us making out and about to have sex. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. It was definitely a mood killer for me and ultimately became a deal breaker.
I wouldn't be that angry about this.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't.
He got bored. You were in the bathroom. He answered a thing. Then he was like, "I might as well just do it now." To me, this, I mean, like, it was a deal breaker for her. I assume there were some other issues that were actually the real deal breaker. To me, it's like, I could see myself doing this. I'm sort of addicted to my phone. I'm sure you are too.
Absolutely.
Where you're like, I'm already in the app. Let me just, you know, it's not like you're in the middle of having sex.
Yeah. And yeah. And it's like, I'm sorry to break it to her. Her going, you making out and then going, I'm just going to go freshen up. And then you go in the bathroom. He doesn't believe that you're in there like powdering your face before you get ready for this big lovemaking experience. Like, you're in there taking a shit, removing, you know, maybe a tampon, taking a piss. Like, it's not like you're doing like, you know, anything that's great. Like in his mind, it's like, yeah, I'm going to jump on my phone.
You left the room for a second. Yeah.
I mean, this to me is, it's more of a red flag of someone getting mad at me for this. Like, listen, my mind wandered off. My bad. I'm sorry.
Right. I thought it was an emergency. So I'm already out of this zone of like, of being in a sexual experience because my head went somewhere else. And then I just decided to go with it. What's the big deal?
That happens all the time where it's like, again, not in sexual sense, but it's like, you're texting with someone and then you're like, oh, I got to look this up. And then you go to look it up and you're on a different app. And then all of a sudden you're on Instagram and then you're on Twitter and you're like, what was I supposed to look up? Like, this happens on the phone. Like, these things are, this is like, to me, like Jordana, like you said about being addicted. Like, this is to me, like getting mad at someone for like pulling out a cigarette after they eat when they're used to having sick. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
Right. They have an addiction.
Yeah, it's okay.
Red flag or deal breaker. They doesn't text you until a week after your first date, or if you had texted them, they don't respond for a week after you text them after the first date.
To
so you
me,
go out with a girl
and
you
it takes
text her
a week
after,
and she doesn't get back for a week. I would just, no, that wouldn't be, that'd be a deal breaker for me.
You just wouldn't answer the return text.
Maybe I would, but I would think of them in a different way. I would think of them as like, okay, if they're getting back to me, this is someone that is on my casual bench.
Okay.
So like if a woman doesn't get back to me, but she does get back to me for a week, I would assume she's not really that excited about, you know, us talking, but still is willing to talk to me.
You'd still have sex with her.
I'd still fuck her. Yeah. Like that's, but it would be like, that wouldn't be someone I'd be like in a rush to go on a second date with. I wouldn't be as excited. What
right.
about you?
It would definitely kill the momentum. I think if I like someone and I went on a good first date with them and I hadn't heard from them by like the next day, I would text them. And if they didn't respond to that text, then if they didn't text me for a week and I didn't text them either, I think it might be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would kind of think of it as like, oh, we're both kind of like on the fence. And then they gave it a second thought. But like, I would still probably be like, we're clearly not that into each other if no one's texted anyone. But if I texted them and they didn't answer for a week, yeah, they're done.
Yeah. The hope of a first date is to have such a fun time that you want to keep talking to them that you would have something to say within a week, right?
Right. Like if it's like you could go on a date and then I'm totally out of your mind for a whole week, then I think you're not that into me.
Yeah. And the question always comes up where it's like, if he doesn't text you right after the date, should I even text? And it's like, I don't believe in waiting, like playing the pride game. Like you said, Jordana, like, yeah, text the next day. If I had something to say, I'd be texting them. But if I have nothing to say, except for like, it would be more worrisome to me that I have nothing to say after I had a fun time. Like, after a date, I would send them, I had a good time, thank you for coming out. If I had nothing to say to them for another week, I would be worried about how interested I am.
Right. I think it's a bad sign in either way. If the communication has week-long gaps, it means you're just, someone or both people are not that into it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, well, that's our show.
We did it.
That's it.
We solved dating again. Jordana, great job. I think we, once again, we did it, right?
We did it. Look at us. Solved dating. And we'll be back. We'll be back on Sunday for our Sunday special.
Boom.
Betches.